You know, every now and then you meet someone and they're like a kindred spirit, all right? You get them as soon as you meet them. Well, this gentleman to my right was someone that I met, and I got him straight away. I like where he's at. And I read most of about who he is from his books. And then I got to hang out with him a little bit, and he got to speak into my life as a regional coordinator for Queensland Baptist, which was really cool to have him being available to speak into pastors like myself. He's been there. He's done that. He's just an incredible man. And I've counted a real privilege to have him in the church today and to give him the microphone to speak into our lives. One of the other things that you may have noticed is that I'm wearing a Broncos shirt. You did notice that? Yeah. Next year, chaplain for the Broncos. All right. Let me just pray for you. Come over here, Warren. Oh, by the way, his name's Warren. Don't call him chaplain to the Bronx. But Warren. Warren Crank. And don't call him Cranky. Apparently he doesn't like that.
I don't mind.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this awesome man. We thank you for the mantle that is on his life. We thank you for the way that you're going to speak in and through him into our lives. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to help him to run the race and to run it well and lead him into the next part of his journey. In your precious son's name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless you, mate.
Hey, thanks for letting me be here. What I can say already is that your church in the prayer life is smashing the stats. So well done. Way more than 30 seconds. And so I'll report that to everyone I meet. Great to be here today, and I'm going to be talking really about the people who aren't in the room this morning, those people that you and I are called to reach. And we have a big challenge in front of us in Australia, and I want to talk to you a bit about that challenge today. And I'm going to end by riffing off one of those books, which most of you, a fair few of you, have bought anyway, which is the Unofficial Chaplain one. I'm going to speed through that because I assume some of you at least have read it. And we try to minimize the boring factor in our sermons, but we never succeed. What I want to talk to you today about is, we'll get it up on the screen shortly, is building mission into our everyday life, basically. And one of the things that we need to realize as Christian people in this country is that we're still in circulation and people still are aware of us. So in recent data, done by a guy called Mark McCrindle and an organization called Olive Tree Media. They surveyed the people who aren't here on Sunday mornings and to get some of the feedback from how Aussies out there think about Aussie Christians in here. And one of the things that they kind of found out was that 92% of Australians know a Christian person. So we still have decent coverage. And for some of those people who answered that question, you might have been the person that they had in mind when they thought, oh, yeah, I do know one. I know Ray, or I know this person, whoever it might be. So we as the Aussie church still have a remarkable reach in our culture. And today I want to talk about how we can make the most of that. When I was down in Tasmania for our mid-year holiday, my wife's Dutch, she loves the cold. We froze all the way through a wonderful holiday that she had. This was up on the screen. This data came out, and this is the kind of newsagent billboard thing. I asked the newsagent lady if I could have it. The census data coming out saying, is it all over for Christians in this country? I'm not really worried about the Anglo part of it. But is it all over for the church? And that's the question that a lot of people are asking. Now, I want to just read a passage. It'll be up on the screen now. I'm going to work with the data guy. He's just awesome doing what he's doing up there. Basically, read you this section from Acts chapter 11. Now, those who were scattered by the persecution, well, some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, they were probably dark-skinned people, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also. Oh, no. Telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus, and the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. What we have here is the story of ordinary Christians. They're not apostles, they're not pastors, they're just ordinary people like you who jumped the fence and decided, you know what, we're just going to start speaking to people about this person, Jesus. And they kind of spoke to the Greeks before they were really supposed to, I think. And what you find is you read the rest of the story that Jerusalem is kind of church headquarters, hears about this, and they race some people up there to find out what's going on. But what I love about this passage is that these people have no official qualifications, they have no official titles, they're just ordinary people who decided, as I go about my business, as I go about my life, I'm going to start speaking to the people around me. And most of the people around them were Greeks. They were pagans. They were heathens. And they were speaking to them about Jesus. And God's hand was with them. And something special took place. What I want to do now is rip through three major models of reaching people that churches generally have. I'm just going to create a sketch for you, an outline. And you can think about what this church's approach might be or what churches you've been in the past might be, the way you think about things. Here's the first one. Who sold their house recently or who's looking for a house? Put up your hand. This is a very stable congregation, Donnie. Very, very stable congregation. Well, if you move to the sunny coast, why would you leave, hey? When I was at Ipswich 12 years there, everyone's dream was to live on the Sunshine Coast and some people got here. I can see them at the back. An open house is when you say, okay, we're going to be here from 11 a.m. and we'll be here for 45 minutes. And if you want to come and check it out, well, the door's open. We'll welcome you, show you around. Now, for a lot of people, a lot of Baptist churches, I would argue this is the predominant message of way of reaching people. It's called open house. So we're here at the Greenhouse, 9:30 Sunday morning. If you want to come along, doors will be open. We'll give you a cup of coffee. We'll welcome you and we'll show you around. And we're hoping that people will actually walk through the door. Next slide. The problem is they're not. Now, this is data from Michael Frost in a book called Road to Missional, and this is U.S. data. He says that 17% of people in the U.S., probably the most Christian or culturally Christian nation on earth, only 17% think, if I need some spiritual guidance, church, I'll go to a church. I reckon you could halve that in this country, and you'd still probably be looking at it with through rose-colored glasses. 10% of the people in our community, when they're looking for spiritual guidance, might say, church. And they might say, actually, there's a Greenhouse in there, Kiwana. I might go in and check it out. Next slide. We actually will reach people this way, and that's how most churches are growing, by having the doors open, and thank God some people find their way in. And when they do, they meet awesome people like you. They get involved in the life of the church, hopefully hear the good news about Jesus, and to make a decision to come follow him. This is still a way that can work. In the recent Queensland Baptist National Church Life Survey data, 30% of people in the congregation were switchers. That means they'd come from another church and they joined the Baptist one. 8% were newcomers. We're not sure why they were there exactly. Maybe they were walking through the door, trying to find something, and maybe they found a local church and were doing their search there. The next model up on the screen is the outside the church one. And that is where we're trying to move as a denomination. I know this church is active in this area, is to say, actually, we can't wait for people to come in here, because if we do, they're not. So we have to go and reach people in workplaces, in sporting communities, wherever they might be. That's where we need to be. That is where we need to go. And this is really good, as the next slide will show you, that basically when it comes to reaching people, what we need to do is go out there, and this model says, and we'll bring them in. We will do the work. We'll build the bridge, and we'll bring them in. Next slide. And this is good news, because in this faith and belief survey, it's only 4 months old now, maybe five. It cost $40,000. It's serious research that was done. The number one attractor for Aussie people outside the church towards religion and spirituality is seeing people who live out a genuine faith. Number one, it smashed everything else. Aussies have a kind of a radar for people who are fakes. What we want to do is see someone who actually his life has been changed, someone's actually living out the stuff that they're talking about. So this idea of us being out in the community, visible in the lives of people, not just in church world, but in the community at large, this is the number one attractor for people when they actually see this stuff lived out by real people. Next slide. Yet, One of the challenges we've got is almost 1.5 million Australians now don't know a Christian. Now, I would argue that if you did this 10 years ago, probably everyone would have. But there's a growing number of people who don't even know one of us. Maybe we're there in their world, but we're just really shy. And our faith is just practiced personally. It's not for talking about. 1.5 million Aussies don't know a Christian. That's a troubling stat for us. If the number one reason why people are open to religious faith is seeing it lived out by someone. Next one. This is really important. You see, we think people know where our churches are. We think that we're on people's radar. How much do Australians know about the church generally? 18% said not much at all. 60% said, oh, I know a little bit about the church. But when it came to the local church like this one, 56% said, I don't know a local church well at all. 26% said, maybe. You add that up. 82% of people don't really know anything about a local church. Nothing very, very helpful. So we think we're here on a corner, we're visible, they'll see us, they'll come. We are not on people's radar. All those prime, you know, corner blocks, we're invisible, by and large, to people. And we have to reconcile with this. I've been trying to speak to all sorts of people who I can to say that we've got to change the way we're looking at things, because what we're doing now generally as the church in Australia, not specifically, you guys could be just like prayer life, it could be punching way above your weight. You guys could be in the zone. I'm not here to say yes or no. I'm talking about data, generally speaking. Most people don't know anything much at all about the local church. And there's a third way, which is up on the screen now. And this is actually to plant simple churches inside natural networks. And I'm about to leave Queensland Baptists, not for any sort of negative reason or whatever, but basically because my heart is to reach people. And God has called me, I believe, to start a movement, only going to be a little one across the nation, where actually we plant churches inside communities. So instead of saying, come to church over here, we actually bring the church as an insider, as a part of that community, and we plant a church inside this. And you're actually doing this as a church. You're actually on the leading edge. I want to commend you, your team here, and what you're doing to actually plant churches inside surf life-saving clubs, rugby league clubs, which is what I've done. So we planted a little one. I'm a chaplain for North Devils, which is a great hashtag, chaplain for the devils. And there they are there. I'm planting a church inside this community as one of them, not as an outsider saying, come over here, but as someone in there. And that's the calling God's called me to, and we're believing by faith to do that. Next slide. So there we go. That's one way of doing it. This is what Red Dirt Church is all about. Simple church for a sunburnt country. And the next slide, I'll show you four of churches so far. Oh, this is our mission, pardon me. We resolve under God to multiply simple, low-cost churches that are personal, biblical, transformational, and missional, reaching unchurched Australians within our natural networks. Networks that we are a part of, where people can actually see us living out our faith, given that that's the number one reason why people might be open to the Christian faith. All right, next one. So here's four churches so far. The text didn't transfer, but that's all right. One out at Alpha on the top left-hand corner. Their first birthday this weekend. They're the only week-in, week-out active church in town. Next one's me and my wife at Bracken Ridge footy. We got one of the Broncos players comes along, a couple of Norse players, our neighbourhood, people from our neighbourhood and all that sort of stuff. Bottom left-hand corner is Childers, and on the bottom right-hand corner, the Pretzels are about to leave by faith and plant a Red Dirt Church down in Singleton in New South Wales. So this is the start of a little thing. Whatever God wants to do with it is what he wants to do with it. But we're going to not talk about it. We're going to have a crack at actually planting churches as insiders. So there are the three major models that people have when it comes to reaching people, and particularly as it relates to the Christian church. Next slide. So the thing is, if you want to reach people around you, if you want to have the people that you know sitting beside you on Sunday or maybe somewhere else at some other time, we'll see what happens. Where do you actually start? Because a lot of Christians go, yeah, I want to, but There's always that problem. Actually, the problem is not where do you start, it's when. The key problem and challenge for us is when. Next slide. When it comes to what are the biggest blockers for church people reaching the community around them, number one is busyness. It's not who am I going to reach. You probably know that already. God's already put you in a natural network, probably. It's not who, it's actually when. How am I going to create the time when season three is just about to start? I can't miss season three. How are we going to do this inside of our busy lifestyles? And this is what the research is telling us. What I want you to do this afternoon, if there's something that you do decide to do after this church service is over and you go home, is to think about, all right, the problem for me probably, if you're typical, is when. How am I going to create room in my life, time? How am I going to give people the gift of time in my life? What would that look like for me? Next slide. So basically, for me, about 15 years ago, I came with this thing called 40-20. Now, if you follow rugby league, 40-20 is kind of a winning play. It gives you a bit of an advantage. What I decided was, I was working for Ipswich Church at the time, working very hard for them. I decided I'm going to try and work towards, I never quite made it, I'm going to try and work towards this idea that I'm going to give 40 hours of my week to my work and honor the church who is supporting me, and I'm going to give 20, notionally 20, to reach people around me. Now that, and do some other stuff, that might be too scary for you. Don't worry about what my numbers are. Next slide. For you, you might be a professional person. The average professional person in Queensland works 45 hours a week. So you might say, well, I'm going to try and give 8 hours to this group of people I work with. I'm going to try and invest my time, my when, in reaching them. Next one. Or, you know, you might be someone who full-on job. You might be a mum and working or whatever. So I've got 3 hours a week. I'm going to make 3 hours a week. That's going to be my when I actually deliberately aim to reach people. Next slide. So the when is actually the biggest deal. And for you this morning, it's probably a when. When am I going to do it? Next slide. Now, this is my little life in a circle. It feels like that. I just go round and round and round. But next slide. You don't have to read that. It's just, you know, how am I going to do that? What would that look like in real time for me in my life? And so now I want to talk to you about thinking about, okay, you've got your when. You're going to say, I've got 3 hours a week. I'm going to invest 3 hours a week in my context. How am I going to do this? Have we skipped a few slides? Yeah, we have. There we go. So when I was at Ipswich Baptist Church, that's Ipswich Baptist Church in the top, not the bottom, I decided to make my start. So I pulled back the amount of time I was serving Jesus Church there, and I decided I'm going to give 6 hours to the Ulysses. Now I was 40 years old, and you can join the Ulysses when you're 40, and you're a junior member for 10 years. Because you're really not supposed to join the Ulysses until you're 50. But I love motorcycle riding. I decided this is the group that I'm going to actually be an unofficial chaplain to. This is where the idea started for me, going back a long time, of thinking, okay, what would it look like to be an unofficial chaplain to these people? Actually, the Ulysses have a chaplain now, an official one, which is pretty good out there in Ipswich. Anyway, next slide. So here we go. I'm going to rip through this now. What would it look like now that you've got your when? I know who, because you're already God's probably already placed you among your who. That's the question of when. I've decided, okay, when is 4 hours, when is whatever you come up with. How am I going to do it? And that's why I wrote the little book, and it's only a little book. It's my publisher said, make it something that Aussie men will read. So it's only about 40 pages. But in this book, I talk about the kind of principles I've used at North Queensland Cowboys. I was chappy for the Cowboys for about 5 years. North Devils now for a couple of years, and I'm about to start. I'm actually officially started actually at the Broncos now. The things that I've done over these years, I'm going to teach you now. And at the presentation night last week for the North Devils, I got Club Person of the Year. Basically, I've only been there 2 years. They didn't even know about chaplains. I remember when I first phoned up, they said no. Someone gave them a bit of a nudge, so they said okay. Then for the first 5 or 6 months, the coach would introduce me to everyone, saying, well, look, I'm not really religious, but this is Warren and he's our chaplain. So The first thing was a disclaimer, and then this is the chaplain, to the point where God's given me such favor in that community of people that the Clubman of the Year, that's no small thing in rugby league world for that to happen. I give praise to God, but it's the things that I'm going to talk to you about now that are going to make you more effective, I believe, in reaching the people around you. Because if you're waiting for them to come through the green doors at 9:30 on Sunday morning, you're going to grow old here and not see much happen. But we want to change the game. When it comes to this is the Faith and Belief Survey, when it comes to the greatest influence in people's lives about opinions of Christianity or the Christian faith, parents and family, 57% say that they have a massive impact on me. The next one is friends and networks. So the number two place that people feel they get influenced with regard to faith, particularly the Christian faith, is by friends or the networks that they're in. And I want to ask you to embrace the life or the role of an unofficial chaplain in the network that you're already in. Pastors, we get trapped in church world and we've got to deliberately find a way outside. For a lot of you, you're already there. We praise God that you're there because you're reaching people we never could. Really, really important. All right. So, you can get this at Coorong locally here, ebook, all that sort of stuff. Next slide. I want to tell you really quickly about chaplaincy. St. Martin of Tours was a Roman soldier and they had a cape. And basically, a beggar came to him one day half naked and said, "Can you give me something to keep me warm?" He tore his cape in half and he gave half of it to the beggar for shelter. That night, Jesus appeared to him in a dream wearing the half cape that he'd given to that beggar. And he knew that this was the call of Christ and it was a call to service. Next slide. So what happened is that the remainder of his cape, because this was a pretty big deal, got put into a church. And so instead of the priest having normal priestly duties, there was a priest, all of a sudden, this was quite novel, they were assigned to look after the cape. What a boring job. Cape's there. Cape's still there. All day long. But this was the beginning of a special assignment. It wasn't just the normal priestly duties. What happened was that the word chaplain, there's Latin words behind all this, became the word used for someone who had a special assignment, next slide, outside the church. So we have roles inside Jesus' church and we're called to serve one another. There's no doubt about that. But chaplaincy was a recognition that actually there's assignments that we have beyond these walls and that we need to be involved in those. Later, they became advisors in matters sacred and secular, as you can see. Next slide. So what I want to encourage you to do is to think about your own special ministry. We think of ministry often as an in-house word. I want to take it outside these walls where it also belongs. To be an unofficial chaplain to people outside these walls, with or without the cape is your choice. It's personal, and if you want to wear a cape, that's okay. Serve inside for sure, but how do we serve people outside? All right, let's get moving. First thing I want to talk about is the fact that you are commissioned to do this. What's happened in the Baptist movement over the last 100 and something years is that we've become a little bit more mainline in the way that we look at clergy. I think this is quite sad, personally. That we have clergy people now who are better than us, they're specialists, and it's their job to go and do these sorts of things. They're the preachers, they're the evangelists, or whatever you want to call them. If you go back to our roots as a movement, the Baptist movement, we actually set people aside to lead and to preach. We valued those people. But there's no way that we outsourced our own role to them. We understood a phrase that we coined more than any other movement, every Baptist a missionary. That was who we used to be. One of the things I've said as I work in the leadership ranks of Queensland Baptists is that Baptists now are known for preaching. That's the place where you get good preaching and teaching. I said, we used to be known for mission, and I want to get back to the old days. Preaching's fantastic. I mean, how many sermons have you heard? It must have been good for you. But the mission is actually what we used to be known for, and I believe we've got to get back to what we were really initially on about. That every person is called to do this. And that Donnie, as awesome as he is, he can't reach your friends like you can. He can't live his life out in front of them like you can. Because what they're looking for is they're looking to see authentic faith in the life of someone that they know, and that turns them towards the questions that are really important. Next one. Some of them went to speak. These people jumped the fence. They didn't wait for the official, authority from Jerusalem. They just went and did it. Next one. Chaplaincy also really fits the Queensland Baptist personality. So when we did the National Church Life Survey, the biggest profile for the average person who is part of a Queensland Baptist church is behind-the-scenes kind of hospitality stuff. So very few of us in the Baptist movement think of ourselves as upfront people like preachers or stage people. Most of us say, actually, my gifts are behind the scenes. Now, chaplaincy is a behind-the-scenes thing. You don't wear a badge, you just quietly serve. In fact, in the Navy, the nickname for the submarine part of the Navy is the silent service, and that's the nickname they've given to naval chaplaincy. It's the silent service. It happens just below the surface as people get around doing their stuff. This fits the average personality of a Baptist person. Next one. What we do is we look after people, whatever their need is. We don't just go for the soul. We don't just go for the spiritual stuff. But we care for people however we can. This is what chaplains actually do. Next slide. This reflects the compassionate actions of Jesus. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He cared for people who were grieving. Did all these people come follow him? No, hardly any did. Did it stop him doing it? No. This is the heart of God, to care for the whole person however we can. Next slide. This is really interesting because the second top attractor towards religion and spirituality, 13% of people surveyed said that, is when they experience personal trauma or change in their life. When something upsets their world, suddenly they're open to the spiritual questions. And this is where we as Jesus Church can actually serve people, meet need, and be able to, God willing, speak into the lives of people around us. This idea of holistic care for the Aussies, this is what opens the door when they know you really care. There's an old phrase, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That still plays out. I got an American friend who loves sharing the good news about Jesus with people. When he came to Australia, he had to relearn everything. Because in America, you could go to a bar or to have a cup of coffee at someone's place and say, I think God's real. And the other person would go, no, they're not. And yes, they are. Here are the reasons. And then there'd be a debate. He said when he did the same thing to Aussies, when he started to talk about God, people started to go, okay, and look for the first opportunity to exit the conversation. Because that's not the way we roll. We're not sort of this, we're going to have a big debate about everything. The key to the Aussie heart is different to the American heart. We've got to learn that some of the American stuff that we get, sure, it might be helpful, but actually Aussies are different. And we've got to reach Aussies. Don't worry about that. We'll keep moving. If you like minestrone soup, sorry. We do this as ambassadors for Christ. Next one. We're going to roll through this. You might be the only representative of Jesus Christ that these people know. For that, some of those 92%, there's probably only one person they can think of. When I was at the Cowboys for the first 3 years, I was the only one person in the whole club who identified as a Christian at all. So when I went to training or the game or whatever, I was the God person in their world. And I took that really, really seriously. I'm not perfect, all that sort of stuff, all those disclaimers, just like you. But I embraced the fact that actually, in the big scheme of things, I am the God person in the world of these people, and I need to treat that seriously. That is a sacred calling that I had there. You might be the only person that these people know. Next one. Seeing genuine faith, so important. That's why we're riffing off this. Next one. Prepared to share hope. You've got to be ready to tell your story and to share your hope in simple, appropriate ways with people. Next slide. This is an ordinary conversation. So there's a chapter in 1 Peter chapter 3 where he's talking about being prepared to share the hope that you have. Now, sometimes in the Bible, when you read it, Jesus talked about persecution scenarios where, you're going to be dragged before courts. Don't prepare what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit's going to give you what you need right there. And then this is not that scenario. Peter was talking about ordinary conversations. See, he was expecting that Christian people who lived their life openly in the world would create intrigue. That there'd be something about you that make people go, what is that? Or why? In fact, if you don't have people who in your life who just go, you just do things differently to me, you're either stuck in church world or you're not living as salt and light to the people around you. You're an undercover Christian. I'm talking about being an unofficial chaplain, not an undercover Christian here. You see, the Apostle Peter expected that we would create intrigue and conversations would come from that. I've got so many stories, which I won't tell around that. Let's keep going. Here we go. Number three, top attractor for Aussie people. Stories or testimonies for people who've changed due to their faith. That your life has changed. You don't have to be an apologist saying, why is there suffering in the world? Sure, people have that question. But what people want to know from you is, why have you changed? And what difference does Jesus make in your life? You've got to be prepared to share your story of hope. We leverage our relationships for good. This is what Chappies do. My first job, next slide, at the Broncos, when I start there, I've kind of already started, is to help people think that, okay, this guy's all right. I feel comfortable around him. And he's someone that we will welcome into our world. The first thing I need to do is for people to go, this is how you reach Australians, is people go, decent bloke, I like him. Number two, relationships deepen when you connect with people outside the usual everyday context. So we ran this course repeatedly at Northreach in Townsville, where I was, called Introducing God, where you invited your friends to a course. Now, they did some surveying on why people who came actually said yes. What increased the likelihood of them saying yes? And this is the data they found. That the chance of someone saying yes to your invitation went up exponentially if they'd been to your place for a meal. You see, what we need to rediscover in our busy, busy lives is that gift of hospitality, which is right through the Bible. Where our homes are open or restaurant hospitality is fine, cultures change, do it at a restaurant if you want to. But meeting people outside that normal context means that your life opens up a little bit and something is shared where you start to go deeper. We need to go deeper with the people around us to hear their story, even as they hear ours. And this is where the gift of time comes in. If you can only ever catch up with someone briefly at work, it's pretty hard for me to imagine that you're ever going to have that second level impact in their life. Because it'll always remain a little bit worky. It'll always be a little bit surfacey. We've got to meet people outside the normal context. And the final one is that people become spiritual friends. And what I talk about in the book is it's when the God conversation's kind of understood that this is where I can have that talk about the whole God stuff. I had a 63-year-old guy sidle up to me on the sideline 3 months ago, pardon me. 63 years old, right? And he says, so are all churches the same? They all believe the same things. The first thing I said to myself was, he's got no one else in this world that he can actually ask that question of. So here I'm the God person for him. So I explained to him that, well, we all believe that God created everything and that people were the pinnacle of all that he made. The people had turned their back on God, they'd run away, severed our relationship with him, and all sorts of bad stuff has happened. The God could have just, turned away. But in love, he sent Jesus into the world to die for our sins, to show us the way to live and to bring us eternal life. And that following him is an act of repentance, turning from your old way of life and believing all that Jesus has done and embracing a new way of living. Now, in that conversation, we could have been talking about his kids. We could have been talking about the football. It was as natural as, because over time, these things had started to happen. Next slide. We're well and truly heading down to the end. We got to anticipate that some people are going to push back on the fact that we're bringing God into the world. And not everyone's going to like that. In my early time at Cowboys, there were two very household name people that didn't really want me in a club. Why do we have to have a God person in footy? What happened was that there was really tragically a suicide in the club, and the club invited me to be there all one day as the news broke. And interestingly, many more people came to see me than the psychologist who was made available. Why? Relationship. Really, really important. And then a day later, the head of strength and conditioning came up to me and said, so-and-so remarked the other day, I used to wonder why we had a chaplain. Now I think I know. And the point of this story is that even in your world, if some people push back on you, there can be circumstances that come up that God arranges totally out of the blue where suddenly they go, that's why you're in my life. Things can turn around. They really can. Next one. We got to pray. This is the second last one for those of you who are waiting for the end. You got to keep on praying. Next one. Really, really important. Pray for people. Pray with them. What I've found for football players is that if we're sort of by ourselves somewhere and they raise something that's going on, something tough, and there's no one else around, I just say, can I pray for you? And I pray for them right there and then. Really short, sharp prayer. Don't make it long or dragged out. What are you doing? You're inviting God openly into that situation. Really, really powerful. I think more and more people are open to this than they used to be. Next one. Basically, in Clive Nichols' refinery, there was a bunch of people who, after I started to teach this in Townsville, started a prayer meeting for the refinery workers on Friday morning. 700 people in the workspace. News got around the refinery that there were these churches that were having a prayer meeting for their colleagues at work. And one of the people from our church overheard two people talking about this, and this is what one of them said. Well, good on them. It can't hurt. We can use all the help that we can get. Turns out they really did need all the help they can get. The final one is a nudge. Chaplaincy, and this is how to reach the Aussie heart, I believe, is not Bible bashing. That turns people off. That turns people away. A nudge, as the next slide will tell you, is basically a gentle push with the elbow. It implies proximity. That we're genuinely just pushing someone, getting their attention, bringing God into their world little by little. Next one. We recognize that for Australian people, there are often many incremental steps between them first thinking maybe God's a thing and making that decision to follow Jesus. In fact, in Townsville, where I was before the role I'm in now, we worked out that for those people who did give their life to Christ, come follow Jesus, it was probably 2 or 3 years from that moment where they thought, all right, maybe, to that decision of following Jesus. And what that taught us was that we have to be there in people's lives for the long haul. We have to keep showing up. We have to keep showing up. And just being that person that is there to nudge them a little. From that first thing, I don't believe in God, to, well, maybe God's a thing, to maybe God is involved in the world. Maybe he cares about what he made. Maybe I've got some responsibility here. Maybe there's a possibility that I could have a friendship with God. Maybe Jesus is the way that can happen, because I know I'm not ready for that now, to that moment of making a decision to follow Jesus. Listen to this, church. If you're not there 3, 5, whatever years it's going to take, do not expect those people that you love in your world to be with you in church on Sunday or wherever. This is where the church has got to lay down its life again and say, I'm not just here for my brothers and sisters. I'm here for the people in the world around me. And I'm going to keep showing up, and I'm going to keep being that person in their life. Next slide. So nudging is really important. Final one, which is where I think I'm going to finish. It's not over. You see, it's only over if we decide, yeah, okay, let's give up now. Let's just retreat inside our little churches. And, you know, we'll have a dwindling song session until Jesus comes back. Or we can actually say this is a turning point in the life of the Aussie church, and we've got to start doing things differently if we're going to reach people around us. Otherwise, well, I guess they can go to hell, huh? That's what it comes down to. We've got to rethink this. God's mission is to reach Australians. I want to finish now with the unofficial chaplain's prayer, which should be up on the screen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, today I am commissioned to do good to the people around me. If someone has a need that I can meet, enable me to see it and meet it. Help me be a credible ambassador for Christ who serves diligently and models integrity. May I always be prepared to share my faith and hope in simple, appropriate ways, and help my relationships deepen and my spiritual influence increase as I invest time in people. Give me the strength to accept antagonism and to respond with a blessing. Stir me, Holy Spirit, to pray for people privately and with them opportunely. Today, Lord, help me nudge someone in your direction. Amen. And every time I go to the Broncos, that's the prayer I'll pray. My prayer is that this church, it's already doing awesome stuff, will continue on that journey of reaching people, not the American way, any other way, but in the way that's going to reach the Aussies around us. Thank you.